Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here and give this talk. So my collaborator on this work are Daniel Fisher and Cristina Toninelli. And so I will be very brief on the physical motivation, because there are things that were, already many talks here on the glass transition. And so let me just record you what is the glass transition. So if you, in general, if you take a liquid and you cool it fast enough in order to avoid crystallization, the liquid enter in a metastable phase, which is called a supercooled liquid. If you decrease further the temperature in this regime, the structural relaxation time scale start to grow very fast, and actually can display a superarrhenius behavior as a function of 1 over the temperature. And then there are many other remarkable phenomena that appears. For example, the relaxation become non-exponential, and the system become dynamically heterogeneous. And then at a certain point, the structural relaxation timescale becomes larger than the timescale on which you are doing the experiment. At this point, the liquid fall out of equilibrium and becomes an amorphous solid, which is usually called a glass. So this is the physical context. There are many different approaches to try to understand what is the mechanism behind all this physical behavior. And I will talk just about one approach, which is based on the study of kinetically constrained lattice gas. Two days ago, I think David Sherrington talked already about this. And so I will just give two motivation. So the first, so let me just very briefly say what are kinetically constrained lattice gases. So they are lattice gas, and in general their thermodynamic is completely trivial. They can be spin model or particle model, and in general you have constraint on the dynamical rule in such a way the dynamic can be very sluggish at high density if you have, for example, a particle system, even if the thermodynamic is completely trivial. So now the motivation behind this study, I mean, there are two motivations. So the first one, which is, I mean, the pragmatic one, is that this model, at least some of this model, seems to display many phenomenological, at the phenomenological level, many properties that you can see in glass-forming liquids. And so it's interesting to just to try to understand in this very simple model what are the mechanisms behind these properties. And then the other is another motivation, which is less pragmatic and more, let's say, fundamentalist, is really to think that this model can be really a very good model for glass-forming liquids. So I'm not sure that it's correct, but the idea, at least the way how I understand it, is to say that in glasses you can have, so in glass-forming liquids, what you can have is you can have a static correlation length, which is not growing, which is of order 1, and you can have a dynamical correlation length, which is growing. And so if you take, if you look at the system at the, on a coarse grain level, on a length scale, which is larger than the static correlation length, but which is lower than the dynamical correlation length, what you see is that you have some coarse grain variable, which are completely independent from the thermodynamic point of view. And so you have the thermodynamic, which should be completely trivial, but because the system is glassy, so the dynamic is not, and so you should have some dynamical rules which make the system very sluggish and glassy. So just the idea, I mean, this is very general, and then you can say this, but then find the model, find the good model, even if this is right, which is not clear, find the real model which corresponds to this, so find the real coarse grain dynamics, it is very hard. So I would like to focus on a model which is called the Cobb-Anderson model. And so we have studied this model and all the variants of this model in great details. And I think they can give a lot of information on the non-trivial physics that you can find this kinetic lattice gas. So let me just introduce the model, and then I will say why it's interesting to study it. So the model is a kinetically constrained lattice system. So it's a particle system. So you put particle on a lattice. There is maximum one particle per site. And then this model is a stochastic lattice system. So you have just a dynamical rule, which is the following. So at each time step, a particle A and one of its neighbor J is chosen at random. And then A is moved to J if J is not occupied, and if the number of occupied neighbors of A is less than z minus s before and after the move. So z is just the connectivity of the lattice, and s is the parameter which defines the particular model. So, okay, I define this parameter s because it's much more interesting to see at the dynamics, to look at the vacancy and not at the particle, because as in a usual lattice gas, if you want to understand what happens at high density, you have to focus on vacancy, not on particles. So this dynamical rule means that vacancy move only if the initial and final sites have at least s neighbor vacancies. So I would like just to give you an example. So in two dimension, on a square lattice, an interesting case is the case s equal 1. So in this case, if you have a particle, let's say, and you want to move this particle, so this configuration in which this particle can move because there's two vacancy before the movement, and then you can move here and have again two vacancy after the move. And again, if you focus on vacancy, what you have, this vacancy can move because it has a vacancy, a neighboring vacancy before the movement, and then you will have another vacancy after. And then there is another model, which is the original one introduced by Kobe Anderson in three dimension on a cubic lattice, and you take s equal 2, and then here you have that the particle will, should have so three neighboring vacancy to move, and then it has to have three neighboring vacancy after the move. And if you focus on vacancy, what you have to ask is that the vacancy should have two neighboring vacancy to move, so two neighboring vacancy before and after the move. Now, something which is, I think, is clear from the dynamical rule is that the thermodynamic is completely trivial. And the fact is that if you look, so what is the stationary distribution which verifies the tie balance, what you find is that it's just the distribution which is flat on all the configuration with the same density. So if you want to compute the thermodynamic is just, you make the sum over all the configuration and I, which can be equal to 0 and 1, and then you have the chemical potential, which fixes the density, and that's it. So it's like if the Hamiltonian is 0. So that's the model. You can already see that if the density is high, the dynamics will be slow, because, okay, let's consider these two models, just to fix the ideas. What you have is that a high density, typically one particle will have a lot of occupied neighbors, and so it cannot move. So there are very rare particles which can move. Okay, you just... So Kobe Anderson introduced this model to study some properties of, actually, of mod covering theory, and what they found, okay, it's clearly that the dynamics is low at high density, but it's rather trivial. What is interesting is that their numerical simulation seems to suggest, so let me just say that the only model that has been studied before our work was the 3D s equal 2 Kobe Anderson. And so they suggest that perhaps there is a dynamical phase transition at the density 0.881, so the maximum density here is clearly 1. And so actually what they did is to compute numerically, for example, the cell diffusion coefficient or the structural relaxation time scale, and then they try to fit, for example, the cell diffusion coefficient with a low, which is rho c minus rho, so rho is the density, to a certain power, or the structural relaxation time scale with a low like this, rho c minus rho to another power beta. And so the parameter of the fit are rho c and beta, rho c and alpha. And what they found is that rho c seems to be very close to 0.881, and then they found different exponent. So.
How come in these fittings they always quote 3 decimal places? I mean, it's ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
Coping with some potential, you know, 0.435. I mean, how do they. Temperature is fluctuating.
I agree. There is no meaning in the 3. The only thing that they did, they tried to fit with other laws, and it seems to say that these laws are the better one. But okay, except this, no, I agree. I mean, it's so high gravity. Yeah?
There's only better temperature at all, only better density?
There is only density. It's like if you want half-sphere. So then after there were other studies, so in particular by Kurchan and others, so in which they've shown that, okay, this model seems to have so a dynamical phase transition, perhaps, but from the thermodynamic point of view, it's completely trivial. Then they've shown that this model can have also of equilibrium dynamics and aging, actually what you can do is just you can, since the only control parameter is the chemical potential, you can make a quench in the chemical potential and show that the system, at least on the numerical simulation, seems to stay always out of equilibrium. And then they also study the properties of the off equilibrium dynamics, and they show that the so the off equilibrium dynamics has properties which are very similar to the one which has been found in mean field grassy system. And then another thing which is interesting is that Franz Moulin Parisi tried to look at this model and shown that the model is dynamically heterogeneous. So I will not enter into the details, but it's just to say that so this model, if you want, is seems to have a dynamical phase transition, seems to be dynamically heterogeneous, has a non-trivial off-equilibrium dynamics, which is very similar, seems to have property very similar to what you find in mean-field gassy system. And also, if you try to look at the the relaxation time scale, you have a non-Arrhenius behavior. So what I mean for non-Arrhenius is that here there is no temperature, but what you have is that the chemical potential goes like the logarithm of 1 minus rho, when rho is close to 1. So here, so if you have the structural relaxation time scale, in Arrhenius behavior means that things should go like 1 minus rho to a certain power. If you have something which is more faster than that, it means that you have something which is non-Arrhenius. So and you cannot just think that the dynamics is due to the motion of some defect, and to create the defect you have just to pay something which is exponential of mu times a number. So you see there are many properties which are similar to the one that you find in glass-forming liquids. And the point is that it's really interesting to try to understand what is the mechanism behind all this physical behavior. And also it's interesting to understand this relationship with the mean field dynamics, try to understand how, so if one can understand what's going on in finite dimensions, so one can have at least understand how one can go beyond this mean field result, at least in a particular case. So what we have done, so actually we didn't do this. Let me say, so the first thing that one can do is just try to study the model at the mean field level. So because this is perhaps not very interesting to understand what happened in finite dimensions at very high density, but it's interesting to understand, to make the connection with mean field grassy system and to understand how things change in finite dimension. So what we have done to study the mean field dynamics of the Cobb-Anderson model, we have just studied the Cobb-Anderson model and we have put it on a beta lattice. So let me recall what is a beta lattice. The beta lattice, at least, what we have studied is a random graph with a fixed connectivity, which means that you have to consider the space of graph which have the same connectivity on each side, then pick at random a graph in this space, and this is what a random graph with a fixed connectivity or a beta lattice. And the property is that locally is tree-like, so it's like exactly like a K-D tree. So it's like this. So for example, here with a connectivity which is equal to 4, so it's what locally, so you have just this structure. So it's rather simple to analyze this model on this type of structure, because you can write some iterative equation and then study it. So what we have done, we have defined, so we have two ways to show that there is a dynamical transition. So the first one is that we can write iterative equation on the probability A that vacancies can be rearranged within a branch. So this is a branch of the tree, so that the bottom side and at least S of its above neighboring sides are vacant. So you can show, I will not enter into the detail, but you can show that you can write an iterative equation on this probability, and then what you find is that you find a transition for this probability A at a density which is less than 1. So if you look to 1 minus A as a function of the density, what you find is something which is 0 until a certain density rho C, then it makes a jump to a value 1 minus AC, And then you have a behavior which 1 minus AC plus a constant rho minus rho C to the power 1 half. So what this is, when you find this, what does it mean? It means that when rho is less than rho C, the system is completely fluid. You can move a particle wherever you want and vacancy wherever you want. And then at rho C, there is a dynamical transition which takes place, which is a little bit strange in the sense that you find its first order because A makes a jump. And at the same time, it has, I mean, I wrote something like marginality, but it has a square root singularity, which means which has a property of second order transition. And this is related to the fact that there is a divergent dynamical correlation length. So I will discuss this later. But these two things are quite unusual. And there are things that you find in this mean, the dynamics of this mean field gas system. The other thing that we can show is that we can show that the configurational entropy, which is the logarithm of the number of ergodic components, make it jump exactly at the transition. So it's zero for rho less than rho C, and then it makes a jump, and then it decreases toward to zero when rho is equal to one. So I would like to discuss an alternative procedure to get the same thing, because I think it's interesting to understand what is going on this lattice. And another way to get the dynamical transition is the following. What you have to do is to study what is called a bootstrap percolation problem, which is defined in this way. So you pick at random an equilibrium configuration, and then you take away all the particles that can move under the Cobb-Anderson rule. So if something remains, and you can show that if something remains is an infinite cluster, this infinite cluster of particles is blocked forever. Why? Because if it was not blocked, you can just you should have picked away the particle before. Then you can, exactly like percolation on beta lattice, you can study this problem again with some self-consistent equation, and then you can find that there is a transition at the density which is less than one, which is exactly the same that you find so within this computation. So actually, what does it mean? So what does it mean? That if you look at the space of configuration, let's call it this is the space of configuration, when rho is less than rho C, you have just a big one ergodic component. And when rho is larger than rho C, what you have is that this is divided in many, many, many different components, and which are actually in an exponential number. And if you look in real space, what happens is that exactly at rho C, there is an infinite cluster of blocked particles which exist. And if you are at rho C minus epsilon, what happens is that everything is mobile, the system is fluid, but you have whose relaxation time scale is very large. So you have almost blocked group of particles, but at the end, if you wait long enough, they can become fluid. So I would like just to show you some simulation that actually we have done before understanding that we can solve the problem. And so here is plot the correlation function, which is the local density correlation function for different value of rho. Here is the same thing in logarithm of time. So they are not very precise simulation, but was just to show that there is indeed a transition, and it has more or less this two-step relaxation. Now, the other thing that I would like to show you is what is called the chi-4, which is the fluctuation of C, which I can define. So let me call, so C is the density-density correlation function. So C0 of T is 1 over L, and is the number of sites, sum over I, and I of T, and I of 0. And chi4 is n c0 of t square connect. So the, yeah? In the liquid phase, yeah. So increasing rho, this rho minus, so here in the liquid phase, but approaching rho c. And so what you find, which you find also in mean-field gas system, and perhaps that you find also in glass-forming liquids, you find something which is growing, which is meaning, what does it mean? This means that there is a time scale which is growing, this just because this peak is growing and is going to the right, and there is a length scale which is dynamical, a purely dynamical, which is growing, and this is related to the fact that this peak here is growing. So So let me just recap all the results. So the first thing is that we have, so here you find that there is a dynamical transition for the Cobb-Anderson on the beta lattice, which is exactly analogous to the one that you find in mean-field classy system with one-step radius meter breaking. So, it's analogous to the dynamical one that you find in mean-field classy system. Clearly here, there is no static transition. And then the other thing, which is, it's technical that it's interesting to know, is that you can try to change the structure of the beta lattice and then include loops at finite order. I don't know, you can study the model on a Kikuchi lattice or try to make always structure which interpolate between a real three-dimensional system or two-dimensional system and the tree. And what you can find is that what you can prove is that this type of transition is always there at any finite order. So there is always this type of mean field transition. And then, I would like just to stress that the case, so this is true when S is different from 0 and K, and S equals 0 and K are special, and the fact, so S equals 0 is just the pure lattice gas, so there is clearly no transition, so a vacancy can move freely, and S equals to K, what it happened is that the system is non-ergodic to any density, and you can see because if you take two particles like this, and then vacancy here, so these two particles are blocked, they cannot move. Okay, you have just to try to see it, because if you try to move, so this particle, you will have that the vacancy which arrived here that cannot have K neighboring vacancies. And so this thing is blocked, and so you have piece of particle which are completely blocked, and so the system is never ergodic. Now, I would like to discuss what happened in finite dimension. So in finite dimension, what you can show is that first thing, this transition is not there, so you can show that this transition, mean field transition doesn't exist in a finite dimension. And then what is also interesting is that there is a crossover, you can define a crossover length such that if the system has a size which is smaller than this crossover length, then the system behaves like a sort of mean field system. But when the size is larger than this crossover length, the system has a different behavior, which is the one that he has in the thermodynamic limit. Now, what is the strategy? So I will focus for simplicity on a square lattice with the rule S equal 1. So a vacancy can move if it has just a neighboring vacancy before and after the move. So the idea, what is this type of transition that we found on the beta lattice? So what you have is that when rho is smaller than rho c, there's just one ergodic component, and when rho is larger than rho c, you have many ergodic components. What I mean with many ergodic components is simply that you have region of the space of configuration such that you can go with allowed moves from one region to the other, because there is no allowed path to go from one to the other. And what I would like to show now is that what happened in finite dimension? If I take a finite system, clearly there are many ergodic configurations. That's trivial to show. So a two-dimensional system, if you take a periodic boundary condition and you consider, for example, a line of particle like this, you can show that this thing is completely blocked because each particle has three neighbors, so it cannot move. But now, so there are clearly, on finite size, there are clearly many different ergodic components. So what I mean with the system is ergodic. What I mean is that if you consider the system, so when at a certain size L, you can have some different ergodic component. But yeah, when you increase the system size, there is one which becomes very large, and the other one which which becomes small. And in the thermodynamic limit, this one, which I will call A, cover all the configuration of space. So if you take a configuration at random, then this configuration will be there, which is not exactly like ergodicity, but I will discuss after. This is what is called irreducibility. So how I can do that? What I would like to do is that I would like to identify, I define an ergodic component A, and then I would like to show that A covers all the configurational space at any density less than 1. So let me define A. I'm sorry, here it doesn't work very well. So I will define framed configuration as configuration such that all the boundary sides are empty. So consider here the square. I will say that the configuration is framed if it has all the boundary sides which are empty. And then inside I can make, I can put whatever I want. So what, now I would like to show that frame and configuration, yeah, with the same density, belong to the same ergodic component. So what I mean is that I take a frame and configuration, it, so it has all this boundary site empty, and inside it can have any configuration. I take another one, which will have, so again, all the boundary site empty, and another configuration inside, and I can show that there is a path which is allowed under the Cobb-Anderson dynamical rule to go from one to the other. And the way to show this is just, I mean, the elementary thing is just show that I can do an elementary permutation between two particles, and you see the way to do it. I mean, they say the way to do it is just to, okay, here you should have the motion of one vacancy per time step, but what you have is that you can raise all the vacancies which are there, then you can put down all the vacancies which are on the top, and then make a sandwich of these two, and then you can do the move, and then they can go back. So what happens is that you can do an elementary permutation in such a way that all the other particles remain in the same position in the initial and the final configuration. So this is enough, if you think just a little bit, is enough to show that I can go from any frame configuration to any other frame configuration with the same density. Now let me define frameable configuration. So frameable configuration are configurations such that there is a path such that I can bring them to a framed configuration just with allowed moves. Now it's very easy to show that frameable configuration with the same density belong to the same ergodic component. And why? Because, okay, let's say that I call A a frameable configuration and B another frameable configuration. Because are frameable, I can put this in a framed configuration C, and this I can put this in a framed configuration D. And since framed configuration are the same ergodic component, then I can go from C to D. So there is a path to go from A to B, or from B to A. So all frameable configuration with the same density belong to the same ergodic component, and actually I will define the ergodic component A as the ergodic, as the group of all the frameable configuration with the same density. Now I would like to show that any configuration is frameable in the thermodynamic limit, and to do that I have to introduce an iterative procedure to construct frameable configuration. So the idea is the following. Let's think that you have an L by L framed configuration, so all the boundary sites are empty. What do you need to go to an L plus 2 by L plus 2 framed configuration? So the only thing that you need, I mean a sufficient condition, is just to have two vacancies on each side of the square, because then you can move the vacancy with just allowed moves, and then you can expand the square. Then this is the way to go from L to L plus 2. Now, this is a way to construct framed configuration. Frameable configuration. And now let's see what is the probability. I take a big square. What is the probability that the configuration taken at random is frameable with this procedure starting from the origin? So what I have here in the origin, I have four vacancies. Then I have that there are two vacancies on each side. So there are here the two vacancies. And then again, so two other vacancies, and so on and so forth. So what is the probability of this? So the probability is just 1 minus rho to the power 4, which is the probability to have the 4 vacancy in the center. And then, so this is the probability to have at least 2 vacancy on a line of length L. Then you have power 4 because you have 4, you have 4 lines for each square. And then you have a product because you have to do this to on length scale from L equal to 2 to L to the size of the system. And what you can see is that this probability is finite when you take L equal to infinity, and actually when rho is close to 1 is just equal to exponential minus a constant divided 1 minus rho. And actually PL of rho is equal to the P infinite of rho when L is larger than this length, chi of rho, which is minus log 1 minus rho divided 1 minus rho. So the probability that the configuration is frameable starting this procedure from the origin is just this one. So it's not one. But actually what I can, I mean, why I have to start from the origin? I can start from any point on the lattice. So this is a little bit sloppy, but one can show rigorously that this reasoning is okay. And so the probability that if I take a random configuration, this configuration is frameable with this procedure starting somewhere from from some point in the lattice, it's more or less this quantity, so this L squared, because you have L squared point from which you can start the procedure, and then you have P of L. And when this thing is of order 1, this means that the configuration will be frameable with probability very close to 1. And this also says that in the thermodynamic limit, so a configuration will be frameable with probability 1. And the other thing which is interesting is that this defines a crossover length, which is just this one, up to log correction. So it goes like a constant divided, positive constant divided 1 minus rho. So if L is larger than this length, so you have that so the ergodic component A covers almost all the configuration space. Then what is also interesting is that this is really a crossover length, because you can show from bootstrap calculation argument similar to the one that I gave before, that if L is much smaller than exponential of another constant, C prime divided 2, 1 minus rho, then what happens is that you have a big spanning, you have a spanning cluster of blocked particle, so clearly the system is not ergodic, and the configuration A takes not the majority of the configuration of space. Now, as you see, the C and C prime are different, and I would like just to mention that we can do something better. So I just show you a way to show, before I show that, a way to understand that you have ergodicity in the thermodynamic limit. Now I would like to discuss what is the optical way to frame, the optimal framing. I mean, the way to obtain really the crossover length with a good constant. So this is not just because, okay, we are proud to have an exact result, but it's because this is interesting to know, to understand the dynamics of the model. So what you have is that actually if you want to really get the good crossover length with a good constant, you have to consider a definition of frame and configuration, which is this one. So not all boundary sites are empty, but just in this way. And then you can do all the things that I've done before, and you can show that when L is much larger than this low, A covers almost the configuration space, and then from the recent bootstrap regression result, you can show that when L is much lower than this length, so the configuration space is broken up in many pieces with the same constant, which is equal to pi squared divided by 9. Now, so this say that the system is ergodic in the thermodynamic limit, that gives you and say also that there is this crossover length. So I've discussed the case in two dimensions with s equal to 1. Now consider, I would like to discuss our result for a general hypercubic lattice with a general value of s. So what you get is, if s is larger than 0 and less than the dimension of the lattice, so the crossover, again, the system is always ergodic in the thermodynamic limit, but there is a crossover length which go in this way. So this means that you have to iterate the exponential s time, and then you have a constant divided 1 minus rho to the power 1 d minus s. So just to give the example, so the case, just to check that indeed it works for 2D in two dimensions as s equal to 1. So in 2D as s equal to 1, so you find just one exponential and the constant divided 1 minus rho. And then in the original case, considered by Kobe Anderson, what you get is exponential of a constant divided 1 minus rho. So I mean, this length is important. It's important because for two reasons. So the first reason is that it's saying to you how finite size affect. It's important to understand the finite size effect. It means that if you take a certain density and you take L, if you keep the size fixed and you increase the density, at a certain point the system seems to be glassy, to have a dynamical transition, but actually is that just the finite size effect are important, and the finite size effect can have a law which is very unusual with respect to the one that you find in standard lattice models. And then there are the other cases, which are s equal to 0, again is trivial because it's just the non-interactive lattice gas, and that's larger than d minus 1. Again, it's trivial because it's non-ergodic at any density. You can understand, because if you just take an hypercube of particle, this hypercube of particle is blocked. So the system, you have a finite probability to have this at any density, so the system is non-ergodic at any density. I mean larger than zero. So, okay, so this was just, so what I've shown is that this is, so on the beta lattice, you have a transition, which corresponds to a certain type of broken ergodicity. And on finite dimension, you don't have this, and you can show that there is a crossover length. Now, I would like to try to understand what is the dynamical behavior and what is the, because I just showed that there is no transition like on the beta lattice, but for the moment it's not clear what's going on in the dynamics. So now I would like to try to show you what is the mechanism behind the slow dynamics in the model. And before doing that, I would like just to stress two results, which are two mathematical results that you can show just for people which can be interested. So the first thing, since Kobe Anderson suggested that the self-diffusion coefficients to go to zero at a certain density, so you can show just doing a lower bound that the self-diffusion coefficient is strictly positive at any density less than one. So there is, if you want, no dynamical transition related, for example, to a diffusive to sub-diffusive behavior. Then another thing which is interesting is that, when I use the term ergodicity, I mean, when I used before the term ergodicity, I was not really, I was cheating a little bit, in the sense that here the broken ergodicity is not the usual broken ergodicity that you have in the Ising model. So for example, in the Ising model, you can go from any configuration to any other configuration, but you still have a broken ergodicity. And so why you have a broken ergodicity? Because on finite size, the system is always ergodic. Then on infinite size, you can have tunnel between one pocket of configuration space and the other one, which go to zero in the thermodynamic limit. So another thing that can show is that this cannot happen, and there is absolutely no transition in the equilibrium dynamics. But this still doesn't say that what are the properties of the dynamic and what is the mechanism behind this slow dynamic. So now I would like just to discuss exactly what happened. So to understand the slow dynamics, the first thing that you can try to focus on is just to, okay, in the lattice gas, in the stupid lattice gas, S equal to zero, why the system is slow, why the diffusion coefficient go to zero at density equal to one? Just because the motion is given by the vacancy, and the density of vacancy is going to zero when rho is equal to one. So one thing that you can start to think of is, can the dynamics of the Cobb-Anderson model, just due to some defect which moves, exactly like in the lattice gas, some defect which has a finite size, which does not depend on the density, and the time scale, which does not depend too much on the density. So if you try to do this, what you can see is that if you take a mobile element like this, an element of three vacancy like this, again, I focus on the two dimension S equal to one. So these things can move if it has a vacancy just nearest neighbor, or if it has a vacancy here, next nearest neighbor, or if it has vacancy here, I mean nearest neighbor, but in the diagonal direction. So what you have is that this thing, this sort of defect, can move freely on the lattice, and can move along a vacancy network that is linked no more weakly than via third nearest neighbor. So what you have is that if you pick at random a configuration, and you have this type of network, you have an infinite network like this, all the diffusion, all the transport can be is obtained by, if the density is large enough, is given by this the motion of this type of defect. So it seems to be just a stupid lattice gas. But yeah.
I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. If you have such network of empty neighbors, then it can move. But if you have not.
Exactly, I was coming to this. So at a certain density, there is a percolation transition, at which there is no more in this infinite network. So what you have is that it was written here, at the percolation transition, so a crossover takes place in the dynamics, and you start to go from just a single vacancy the diffusion is no more given by just this defect, but it's given by some collective behavior that I will discuss in the following. So this was just to underline that if you want to think that this is just a sort of the diffusion just given by the motion of this defect, what you have is that it could be so, it could there could be a region in which this is true, And then perhaps you can see that the dynamic is slowing down just because there is this percolation. But at a certain point, there is a crossover in the dynamics, which becomes activated. And OK, we'll discuss it in the following. Yeah?
There was this thing of dose.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a figure also. Yeah, it's wrong in the high density regime. It doesn't work.
So I can think that this is just expression that in the model sequence was in this regime.
I think so. Yeah, actually I can show you. Okay, I will discuss it later. But I didn't want to discuss. But okay. just the numerics. You see, he did in 3 dimension, which is the worst case again. But if you do in 2 dimension. He said that the self-diffusion coefficient has to go like the density of holes. And this is the self-diffusion coefficient divided by the density of holes. So you see that here is constant. And actually, the self-diffusion is going down by 3 orders of magnitude in this regime. So here it works. But here it clearly doesn't work. I mean, just because what Dawson was saying is that the self-diffusion coefficient goes in an Arrhenius way. So just like 1 minus rho to some power. And this doesn't work. So it was here, yeah. So what happened at very high density? So at very high density, this mechanism cannot work. And so how the system diffuses? So what you have to think is, you have to think how particle can move in this lattice at very high density. And what you have is that, okay, consider, so the system, at very high density, you know that there are some sites on which you can start this framing procedure that I discussed before. Okay, everything inside the frameable region, I know that everything inside the frameable region can move. Okay, and then the other thing which is important, okay, everything can move inside, but what I would like to have is that this thing can move as a big super vacancy, so in a cooperative way. So what I have to, so how these things can move? These things can move if it has order one of vacancy just above, or just on the right, or just on the left. Why? Because I discussed before that a frameable square can be expanded if it has just 2 vacancy or 1 vacancy on each side. Okay. So if it has 1 vacancy here, what it can happens? It can expand and then shrink, and then at the end it will have move of 1 step. Okay, so on which landscape this will start to happen? So the landscape at which will start to happen is 1 divided 1 minus rho. So on this landscape, you start to have with probability 1 or 2 vacancy on a line of this length. And actually, you have to take, okay, there is a log correction. You have to take a log of 1 divided 1 minus rho, because you have to ask that you want to have a vacancy on each line on, so let's say here, on a length scale which is of the same order of the size of the square. So okay, there is this log correction. So if you take a square which has this length, so a frameable square, so it can move. It's clear that you don't want to take a length which is larger, because the time scale to move, it depends on the length, and is larger if the length is larger. So you have to take the smallest thing that you can take in order to move. Okay, so this can move. And that, what is their density? Okay, the density, it's easy to show, if you remember the equation that I showed before, that the density of this object is just 1 divided LC to the power D of rho, which again, it's something which is natural. What it's just saying is that when L is smaller than LC, you don't have this object with probability very close to 1. And when L is larger than LC, you have this object inside your system with probability close to 1, so the system can you can move almost all the particle in your system. Now, what will be the self-diffusion? If you look at the, so now the picture of the cartoon for the Cobb-Anderson, what is that you have a sort of renormalized lattice gas in which the motion is due to defect, which correspond to, I mean, to a correlated vacancy motion. And so the length scale, typically of this defect, and the time scale are growing with density. So how they grow? So this is the density. So the density, or the inverse density, grows like LC to the power of D. And then the typical time scale, we can show, actually, sorry, there is an error, is much lower than LC to the power of D as a function of rho. And how we can show this? Actually, we can show just with with an upper bound that it cannot grow faster than LC to the power D of rho. But then we have, I mean, good analytical and numerical result to say that tau of rho should grow really slower than LC to the power D, probably like exponential of log of 1 divided by 1 minus rho squared. So what you have is now, if you look at the, so it's just a standard lattice gas, but it has a sort of length scale and time scale which are renormalized. If you look at the self-diffusion of coefficient of the particle or the time scale, the equilibration time scale for the system, this will go like the time scale on which the super vacancy moves, divided by their density. So this is the things which are dominant. So this goes like LC to the power D. And so like before, this goes like exponentially iterated S time, a constant divided 1 minus rho, and 1 divided D minus S. Then there are other cases which I want to discuss. So if I take S equal to 0, I have just normal diffusion for a lattice gas. And then if you just change, so this is for hypercubic lattice. If you consider, for example, a triangular lattice, and you take S equal 1, it's easy to see that it's just a, it's not like the lattice gas, but it's almost like the lattice gas in the sense that you have that if you consider two vacancy here, they can move freely on the network, just because this can move here, and then it can move there, and then it can move here, and so on and so forth. So this, actually, I would say that it has no property, or it has no real glassy dynamics. I mean, you have a time scale and end scale which are not growing, and you have just a pure lattice gas in which what is a defect is just a couple of vacancy. Here what you have is that, these, if you want to renormalize lattice gas, but what is a defect, the defect is related to the cooperative motion of vacancy on end scale and time scale, which are growing in a super Arrhenius way when the density is close to 1. Okay.
If
yeah.
C and LC are the same thing?
No. So Xi is always log of LC.
Log of LC?
Yeah. So if you want this, this is of order 1 divided 1 minus rho. The typical distance between this is exponential of a constant divided 1 minus rho. And they move on a time scale which is slower than, smaller than the inverse density. Okay, so I almost finished. Now, you can do numerical simulation in two dimensions in which you don't have the exponential or exponential, but you have just one exponential. Here you have 1 over the logarithm of the self-diffusion coefficient as a function of the density. So this should go like 1 minus rho and should, intercept 0 when rho is equal to 1, and it seems to work rather well. And if you try to make a fit, what you should get is you should get A, which is close to 1, and C, which is close to 1, because we know what is C in two dimension, which was, we know that this should be, so 18 divided by P square, and the things work. There are error bars, but it seems reasonable. And then there is also the other things which was related, to those ones that I discussed before. Now, the last thing that I would like to discuss is that in this system, there is also stretched exponential relaxation. So why there is a stretched exponential relaxation? Can we understand it? And actually, we have an argument, but we are not sure that it's right. But I will give you the, in any case, the argument, and you can see if it's right or wrong. So the idea, which is really very simple, which is perhaps there in our paper, is that if you take the system, and the mechanism is very similar to the mechanism related to Griffith singularity. And so if you take the system, you consider a square inside your system, which is a square which is L by L. So you can have, with a very low probability, like this, an unusual density, an unusual high density, rho prime, inside the square. Now, if L, which is the size of the square, is much lower than LC of rho prime, then what you have is that the region is blocked. And there will be actually a spanning cluster of blocked particles. And the only way to unblock this square is just to unblock thanks to the environment. So there will be vacancy which come from the outside. It will unblock the square. So what is the time scale? So if you have a square L by L, the time scale should go like L square. Why? So first thing, just because you expect that on large landscape you have diffusion, so you expect L square. And then the other thing is that, you can do numerical simulation and check that indeed it goes like L square. And then, if you put the two things together, is really back on the envelope calculation, what you say is that you have a relaxation with a relaxation time scale which goes like L squared. And then this happened with the probability which goes like L to the power D. I hope I'm not wrong. Okay, and then you make the sum of L, you make this with the saddle point, and what you find is a structured tangential relaxation with an exponent which is D divided D plus 2. And again, it seems to work rather well with numerical simulation, but okay. I'm not really sure that it's correct in the sense that when you do the saddle point, you have, I mean, the fact that this is right when T is of order 1, this I'm sure. But the problem is that when you do the saddle point, you want that this is right when T is larger, okay, is diverging with L. And this I'm not sure, and I don't know if we can prove it. Okay. So let me just conclude. So the conclusion, so what we have found is that the Cobb-Anderson model is display a transition on the beta lattice, which is exactly the same of one RSB system, so a system which has a replica symmetry breaking at one level, and has exactly the same properties. But then we can really understand what happens in finite dimension. So Bergodicity is restored in finite dimension above a critical length. And the mean field-like transition, if you want, is replaced by crossover, which is this sort of percolation, third nearest neighbor percolation transition. And then at very high density, in the relaxation is due to collective motion, so this cooperative motion of vacancies. And the length scale and time scale increase very rapidly in a super-Arrhenius way, okay, if we just make the translation what is super-Arrhenius here. And then, okay, the system is clearly dynamically heterogeneous, and we have perhaps an explanation for the stretch exponential relaxation. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Are there any time for questions and comments?
There's a model which I think was Koenig and Yetler.
Yeah.
And it's a bit similar to the model, and also the results are a bit similar. And they have some arguments which didn't go as far as yours, but could have some aspects of seeing how you can relax configuration.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered if you have tried to apply all your arguments to that model.
I think they should be okay. I think that their model is probably the Cobb-Anderson model on a FCC lattice, and it's the same. So yeah, they think they should apply. Actually, I think they found things which are similar, but they have less result, clearly less result than. And I think, yeah, it can be applied. And also, on the Fredrickson-Anderson model, so which are a spin model, with you can define a parameter which is S, the facilitation, which is exactly the same. And I think that the physics is probably exactly the same. Okay, we didn't try really to verify, but okay, if you just think a little bit, it seems that it works. I mean, if you to this model, so you have that for kinetic lattice gas, or you have a dynamics in which you have just a vacancy which moves, or a vacancy of two vacancies, like I said before, or so a defect of two vacancies, or you have the East model, which is a little bit strange, but okay, it has another type of slow dynamic, or you have this type of relaxation, and that's it, at least for the model which has been defined, I think.
Just give a clue about what kind of dynamics you would need so that you do get a transition in finite dimension.
I mean, it seems to be very, very hard to get a transition in finite dimension, at least with this type of dynamic on a particle. And actually, all this problem is related to a problem which is called bootstrap regulation, on which mathematicians have worked a lot. And again, they never found a transition. They always found transition on the beta lattice, but they never found the transition in finite dimension. The only case in which there is a transition, but which is not first order, so it's not what you would like to have, is that if you take anisotropic rules. So for example, you say, I don't know, the particle can move if it has, actually, in that case, it's spin. So a spin can flip if it has 2 plus spin on the right and above, so which is called, I don't know, north and east model. In this case, you can show that there is a transition which is continuous, and which is actually related to the directed percolation transition. But okay, it's slightly unphysical, take an isotropic rule. But it's there, even in more bootstrap, it's the only case in which people have found a transition. It seems that, OK, okay, nobody has proven this, but it seems that all these characteristics of first order plus divergent dynamical correlation length or divergent correlation length, which you find in the beta lattice, what I want to say that you really don't find, you cannot find system in finite dimension which have this type of things. There is no proof that in general you can find, but okay, there are a lot of examples.
Hasn't
he tried
polymers with rules, this kind?
Yeah, he tried, more or less.
This kind of
rule. I mean, you mean polymers which are finite or polymers which are the size of the system? Okay, of the size of the system, he tried. And finite, I don't know, actually.
I just wanted to comment that indeed it's very interesting to compare the results that I reported yesterday and this one. And it's, of course, very possible that with our primitive analysis we could have overlooked these very delicate things which require so big systems to be noticed. But on the other hand, I would like to point out that polymer system intrinsically does have this dotted lattice type structure on large scales. It's the configurational space of polymer system is negatively curved because, roughly speaking, because of topological constraints. Every time that you have two pieces of the chain which are next to each other, they can be positioned either like that or like that.
Mm-hmm.
That corresponds to the branching of the dotted tree. Either this or that.
Mm-hmm.
That corresponds to negative curvature. Whether it leads mm-hmm. anywhere or it's just stupid idea, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it will be interesting to see if there is some rare mechanism which can unblock the system, or if, in your case, really there is an ergodicity breaking.
I guess this relates to the two questions. You can make systems which have trivial statics, which are continuous, like infinitely long rods that are infinitely
mm-hmm.
and they can't cross. And these models, I guess, are more similar in some sense to these dynamically constrained models. I mean, they literally have trivial statics, but they slow down very rapidly. And does anyone know? But these are all continuous. They're not lattice models.
Yeah.
Idealizations of infinitely long.
There are also, I think, not clock, but I mean, you put rods on a lattice and then you make them rotate. Okay, but it's like, yeah.
Does anyone know in what sort of sense these models would relate? I mean, they're in some sense more realistic because they're an ideal limit of something that's physical.
Yep.
To either these lattice gas models or other kinetic constraint models, or is it just too hard?
I mean, I don't know, but it's certainly something which is interesting. I think we will try to look at the model in the continuum. But okay, I don't know if someone already, I don't think that I'm already there. Just to give an example, I mean, if you take R-sphere, you have something which is similar. I don't know how to do R-sphere on a beta lattice, but if you take R-sphere on a box and then you increase the density, at a certain point you have different ergodic components. And then if you take the density fixed and L which is large enough, you can show that there is ergodicity. So again, this type of things in which you have a crossover length.
But R-spheres don't have completely trivial stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree. But even in that case, you can show that. So, but the problem is that it's much harder. Actually, in fact, what you can, I think, show, even for R-sphere, you can show upper bound on the crossover length. So say that the system will be ergodic, or there will be a big ergodic component after a certain length scale. What is really hard is to show that the system is more or less blocked when L is less than, because in the case of the continuum, you can move just a little bit the particle and then a little bit the atom, so it's much harder to show. But it's interesting, yeah.
Thank you.